As we stand here willing to eat from the table of life, drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, to be here tonight, Lord, with a body of believers that love you, that serve you, that are trusting in you, Lord, that have given their lives over to you in all things. And Father, we know that you are the resurrection and life, and Lord, that you are the holder of all eternal life and Lord of all revelation, of all mercy and all grace. And Father, we come humbly before you tonight, Lord, asking that once again you would speak to our hearts. Give us words to speak, Lord, to the people. And Lord, that you would enlighten us each one. Lord, knowing that we can't know anything except by your grace. And Lord, we know that. We humble ourselves in your presence, asking your mercy and grace. For we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated. We greet you each one in the name of the Lord. We're so happy to be here. And we know that God is good all the time. And so every day, his mercies are fresh, they're new, and they're wonderful. And now tonight, I want to spend a little time in the New Testament, and I'm just want to take a verse of scripture here. I'm going to read about three or four verses, but I want to take 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and I just want to get a few words out of that verse and talk about it a little bit. And I hope I won't bore you, but this is going to be very elementary. But I have a purpose in it, and I do want to, I'm kind of laying a foundation, and I'm trying to make a record of on this subject, because it keeps coming up for people that I'm witnessing to, people that I'm talking to, and it's always timely. I just have a young man in Kenya who we introduced the message to several years ago, and he came for a while, and then he left, and I had opportunity to talk to him again, and so I asked him. I said, "I want you to look again. Just take some time and look again at the message, at the messenger, and see." And so he told me. He said, "Well," he said, "my problem is," he said, "I heard a brother preaching." And I guess all of us, he mentioned Brother Guma, but it was all of us. We're all preaching the same thing. And he said, the rapture's over. And I said, well, I said, let's start with the message. Let's start with the messenger. I said, I want you to read the Church Ages book. And I actually had one there that he was able to access. A church age book and a seal book, and so that was a miracle in itself. And so he told me that he's going to be looking at it, and so this just happened. I just have been working towards this in the last few services, and so I come right on time. And there's been, you know, it's been preached. It's nothing new, but I did one thing I want to establish, and this is why it's going to be very elementary for you. Is in this verse of scripture, he says, he makes four different phrases. And I just want to establish that every one of those phrases, because people take them as natural. Everything's always natural, natural, natural. And they're saying you're trying to spiritualize that which is natural. But what I want to show by the scripture is that every one of these phrases go both ways. They have a compound meaning. They go both ways. And so I want to show it in the scripture. And we're just looking at the Greek tonight because I'm using the search tools here that when you pull the word, you can pull up every scripture in the Greek, or if you're pulling a word in the Old Testament, you can pull every word that's like it in the Old Testament or in the Hebrew. And so that's what. So tonight we're looking at the Greek, we're looking at the New Testament, and let's just read, and then we'll expound a little bit more, beginning at verse 15. So 17, 18. Was it not there? It wasn't there? I'm sorry. Okay, so we're going to read from 15 to 18. And I don't know how I missed that, but I thought it was in there. So, okay. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Now, when he says that, that means this is a revelation. God, this is the word of the Lord. God has given me this, and I'm giving it to you. That's what our prophet did. That's what Paul did for his people. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, this verse of scripture we've all preached on many times, and I think there's no doubt anyone who believes the message understands. Of course, you have different levels, because those at the very basic, they all believe the shout's the message, okay? And then you got to be a little bit more spiritual to understand the voice and the trump. And so that is somehow or another, it tangles them up when it should just all go together and all be understood simply. But anyways, there's no doubt in people's minds that if they even have an inkling that Brother Branham is the prophet, that the shout is the message. Okay. And so, even though this complicates their idea of what the rapture is, they still believe this because it's so emphatic. There's just, you just can't deny that the prophet said it. And so those are the things that has been working in the bride for years and years. Hasn't it, brother? That's the thing. You would just think, just go back 20 years and we didn't have a lot of ammunition. We were still reading. We're still, you know, we had a little something here and they had something over here. And sometimes all their quotes outnumbered our quotes, right? But it's been a constant. It's just been, the bride has just been digging and digging and digging, and God's just been letting it out and letting it out and letting it out. All that was already said under the prophet way back there, not nothing new, not something new that I brought or somebody else brought or any of that. It all came right through the prophet. But it was hanging in a supernatural element. It was waiting for God to let it loose. Yes, sir. And so, They were able to hold on to these natural ideas until these things became reality. And as they started becoming reality to the bride, then they couldn't get past this. They couldn't get past the shout, the voice, the trump, because they know he said it. And so many things are like that, but it just tangles them up because they want to hold on to that idea that the theologians have had for the last 2,000 years. And so they got to deal with that. So he said, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Praise the Lord. And this is only comforting to the bride, because it's confusing to the rest of them. They can't get comfort out of something that's confusing them. And so, although many will claim it, if they don't have the revelation of it, then they can't have true comfort in it. There's no way. All right, let's read verse 17 one more time. then we which are alive, that's our first word, and remain shall be caught up, that's our second phrase, together with them in the cloud, that's our third phrase, and to meet the Lord in the air, that's our fourth phrase, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay, so those are four phrases, alive, caught up, the clouds, the air. Now, I just want to establish for our young people and for some of the people witnessing to that I keep coming back to this over and over, and so it's going to give something I can give a person and to see begin to open up, that these things can have a spiritual avenue, they have a natural avenue. So it's still going to take a revelation for anybody to get it, okay? But the problem is they always think natural and they don't see any avenue for it to be spiritual. So that's what I want to show here. So one more time. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay. Now we're gonna in the Greek here, looking at the word alive. Okay, so this is all the different words that are used: live, be alive, alive, quick. What is quick? To make alive, right? Quickening power. That's to quicken, to make alive. Lively, not translated, and miscellaneous. So I'm not sure what all these numbers are. Beside each one of those. I thought at first that was how many times it was mentioned, but I'm not getting that as I went through. I'm not getting those numbers exactly. So I'm not sure exactly what it is, but if anybody knows, I want to know. So this search thing is definitely it's great. It's great. And if you know it, that's just like this thing that gives you all the scriptures that use the same word, although it's maybe a different word, but it's derived from the same word. Does that make sense? So then that it's translated, maybe it's said a little bit different, like we have many words. And I was to the last minute getting this together because I spent a lot of my morning on Sunday or Wednesday night, next Wednesday's message, because I was looking at the word, and I was telling Sister Edith today, we were talking, the word translation, being translated. So that's the word in Colossians, that they were translated. And so that word, when you go to the meaning, the definition, there's three meanings. And so one is, and it's used very much, and when I was going through on it, I found in the Church Ages book, and this was really interesting to me, how many times Brother Branham said, if you see here, this translation's not right. This translation's not right. This translation. And so that whole Church Ages book must just be hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. And he's enlightening us. He's enlightening us on the scripture, and he's placing them, and he's correcting what the Baptists did to it, what the Pentecostals did to it, what the theologians have did to it. And you'll watch him, not only he won't just take the King James Version, but he takes many different versions. He'll take you back in some of these older versions back there, and he will bring the correct translation of the word. And so that was one. And at the same time, another thing I got along the way today was I had forgotten, because I know I've read it, that Luther translated the whole New Testament. He translated the whole New Testament and then got a bunch of Hebrew scholars around him and started on the Old Testament. He couldn't do that. I guess he didn't know the Hebrew, but he must have knew the Greek because he did that. And so that was a great thing. So then the word translation, besides translating a language, it meant to change form. To change your, if you're translated, you can change your form from maybe say this body to a glorified body. That would be changing your form, right? And there's other ways to change your form, but that's one of them. And then another one was to change your place, right? So like the eunuch, he was caught up, right? And he was found somewhere else. He was translated into another place. And so he left the eunuch there at the water and he was gone. And so those three are, and I hope to spend some time on that, but just putting it out there. All right, so now here we are with the word. Let's go down here still in the Greek. All right, number one is to live, to breathe, be among the living. See, not lifeless, not dead. Number four is living water, having vital power in itself, exerting the same upon the soul. So there you see it's the natural, the mortal, and it's also the living. It's the living, the spiritually living. And so we'll get that in the scriptures there. So it's not just on the natural side now. But all of these scriptures now are using the word alive or a derivative of that, a form of that, and using it one way or the other. And so the word can go both ways, just as we said on the word translation there. This is in Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now we know that is speaking in the spiritual. He's talking about the spiritual bread. And so you can't live with just a natural bread, but he's speaking of a spiritual thing. And that spiritual bread is giving spiritual life. It's not feeding the natural man, it's feeding the spiritual man. And so it's life. So you take the natural, and there it is in the spiritual. Matthew 16. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not a dead God, not a man-made God, not a natural God, but the living God, right? The living God. I'm going to skip this next one, dropping down to Matthew 26:63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God. Once again, he's not talking the natural life. He's talking about the spiritual life. That thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Amen. Luke 10. Now, I could have skipped some of this here. Let's see. No, maybe it's the next one. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Yeah, this is the for the rich young ruler. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what was he asking? He was asking, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, right? He wasn't talking about natural life. He was wanting to gain spiritual life. He was wanting to gain eternal life. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now, he's telling him, even on this side, you do these things, and you'll be accepted, right? And so the life, we're not striving for natural life here. You have it. People are looking for eternal life. And that is what they were struggling to enter into for 2,000 years. And now it's become reality for the bride today that she's not working her way into this, but it's being revealed to her. She's receiving it as a spiritual revelation that Christ is revealing himself to her. That's the revelation. It's Christ, God, being revealed personally to the bride. And that she is one with him, that she's a part of him, that she was in him before the foundation of the world. And so that's the thing that's happening. You are recognizing that you're a wheat plant, that you're not a tare. So Luke 20:33, I think I'm just going to go ahead and read all of this, but I could have probably left some of it out. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. Huh? Why? Because they're living. They're alive. Huh? They have eternal life.
Yes, sir.
See? For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God. Now, he's identifying they are the children of God. So if they are the children of God, then these are recipients of eternal life. And being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What was he establishing? He's talking about sons of God. He could have said, the God of Bosworth, the God of Goomba, the God of Richard, the God of Michael. He could have said the same thing. I don't mean to leave you sisters out, but he's still your God. But he's establishing these are eternal sons of God. So you see what he's saying. See? Verse 38. For he's not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. He's talking about sons of God. He's talking about those that have eternal life. That's what he's trying to get across back here in verse 37. So, Luke 24. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? So I think we've pretty much been on the spiritual side here all the way, on this word, right? Alive. And just for we as we know, that Brother Branham said, this rapture is only for the bride. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So when we're reading 1 Thessalonians 4:17, many times we're thinking of the natural life. But reality is, he's coming for those that are alive.
Right.
He's coming for those that are sons of God.
Yep.
He's not coming for the dead. He's not coming for those that are living in sin. He's not coming. He's only coming for sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
See, those that are alive. That's what he's come for.
That's right.
See, he's not here but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? John 4:9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This is the same word.
Right.
Living water. This is the same word as alive.
Yeah.
Same word.
Yep.
And he said quicken, live, life, living, alive. This is it. Same one. Living water. Same thing. If thou knewest the gift of God. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. It takes a bit of time to get that carnal mind out of the way, don't it? From whence then hast thou living water? Where is it? I want to see it. I want to drink it. I've been waiting on this my whole life. My whole life. Oh, praise God. All right. So, where are we at? Next is the cloud. I meant to put the scripture back in there. And so, here he's saying, now this reference, so the next word is caught up. Let's see, is that right? Well, I think I messed up. Clarence Cloud. All right, here's caught up. All right, let's just drop down to caught up, and then I'll see if I just left something in there I wasn't supposed to. Yes, okay, that's what I did. Sorry, as I said, I had a few distractions. One, I spent too much time studying on something else. For the other, I was enjoying that so much that I wasn't getting back to this, and then also I haven't updated y'all on Curtis in a while. This is another thing I shared with Sister Edith today. I want you to pray for him. The man, you know, he almost died over here when he was in the trailer, and then last week he died. And so they said clinically he was dead. And so I found him there at the storage unit. I come up, the door was open. I went by, I checked on him in the morning. I was going by every day or every other day. And I went by in the morning, and he was supposed to work, and he just was so tired, and he didn't look good. And I said, something's wrong with him. And so I went back in the evening. I left the door open so he'd get some fresh air in there. And so when I come back in the evening, I got back from work, and he looked like rigor mortis had set in. He looked like he was dead. And I mean, his hand, everything, he was just frozen, you know, just like that. And I said, oh my goodness. And, you know, it just scared me. And so I called 911, and I went over, I was talking to him, I was shaking him. And there was just barely breath. I mean, there was just barely a little bit of breath. And so I called 911. And so they had me doing the compressions, you know. I started pumping his chest and counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and here, you know, that's the way out of my purview of I've never done that before. I've never done that before to anybody that was dying, really dying. You know, you're like, and so, and the thing that always aggravates me, I had this one time on a job, we had a gas leak. The boy had cut a gas line, and it's just going shh. And you call them, and they're like, they want all your information. What's your name? You know, what's your company name? What's the number? What's the address? And I remember that same woman. I told this 911 dispatcher, she was so calm. She was too calm for me. You know, this is an emergency. She was so calm. She just talked slowly. And so did this dispatcher for the gas company. And I told both of them. I said, have you dispatched somebody to this place yet? I told the gas man, I said, have you got somebody coming? I said, I can give you all this information after you get somebody coming. And so, I mean, you know, I'm worried about an explosion. I'm worried about him dying. And so, you know, I'm getting excited. And so I tell this lady, I said, have you dispatched somebody yet? And so she's saying, sir, what I need you to do is, I need you. Then she takes me, tells me to lay him down, turn his neck up, you know, get his neck propped up, blah, blah, blah. And so then she tells me she wants me to pump on his chest. And, you know, and so we did that. And after about a half a minute, you know, we just kept doing it, pump, 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 pump. And he just shot up and sucked up a bunch of air and came back. And it didn't take him long, and he was going back. But by that time, the ambulance was there. And so So when he went in the first time, I got disappointed at him because he wanted to go home the next day. He was upset, fussing, carrying on. I want out of here. I want out of here. And I'm like, man, you need help. The next morning, so I was going to go by in the evening. I got there the next evening. He checked himself out in the morning. Okay? He almost dies, and he's back out. And I just told him, I said, Curtis, I don't understand, man. You need help. I said, you're going to die. You're going to kill yourself. And so all I can say is pray for him. He was going to come tonight, and he told me he was going to an AA meeting. But he says he's off the drugs or wants to be off the drugs. And what happened the other day, he said somebody else did it to him. And so in that life. So since I've been dealing with him, I'm dealing with about four or five other people that are in that world. They're in that world. And everything's a lie. They lie to you. They lie to one another. They lie about everything all day long. They are master manipulators on getting what they need right now. What they need right now. Okay? They love you. You're their best friend. You're everything. You're wonderful. You know, you're this. And so as Christians, we want to help them. We want to help them. But we have to be led of the Spirit that we're not helping them go do that. Right. What we want is for them to see Christ and come to life. We want them to receive life. And this message is life. Right. And if they can see this message, they're going to see life. They're going to see Christ. Mm-hmm. And the only place for them to see is in you. That's right. So our next word is caught up. Okay? So here we are in the Greek. Catch up. And we read that the other night, right? He was a catch up and caught up, right? For Elijah and Elisha. Catch up, caught up. Right? So resurrection and rapture. So to take by force. This is interesting. Catch away. Pluck. This is one of the words. This word is the exact same word. Pluck is the same word as caught up. So catch, pull, to seize, carry off by force. Huh? By force. That's right. To snatch out or snatch away. Now, I don't have any quotes tonight, but Brother Branham said that Luther snatched them out. You know that? He said Wesley snatched them out. Right. That's right. What was it? Luther himself? No, it was his message.
Yes, sir.
It was his message. They were bound in the Catholic Church. Yeah. They were bound in these different churches. That was church and state and ruled everybody, controlled what you could read or couldn't read. And they were the only ones that had the scripture. That's why Luther translated it so the people could have it, so they could know God. Mm-hmm. And so that was a great move. And so it was timely because that was the age that the printing presses were just getting big. So they had all of these, several people were printing stuff. And here's Wesley and all these guys that were doing the printing. They were after him because he was, you know how it is with the news. Whoever's got the hot news is going to be the most popular. And this, you know, like today it's clicks, you know, clicks. You say something outrageous and you get more clicks and more clicks and more clicks on your YouTube, on this. Well, their clicks was, Luther would put something on the door of the church and, you know, they'd type it out, or he would tell them and they would type it out. You know, they would print it out and pass it out to everybody on the streets. And it was just a fire that was going. And, you know, it was the grace of God that they didn't just murder him, but it was time. It was time. And so he was snatching the people out, the word of God.
Yes,
that's right. And Wesley come along and he was snatching them out. That's right. This thing, you know, well, we'll just go slowly, but it's all there. It's all there. This thing, people, they want to say that we're spiritualizing, we're taking it out. No, it's perfectly in the scripture. And it's perfectly in the message. If they don't believe the message, it's still in the Bible.
Yes.
It's still in there. The basis is perfectly in there. And so we just need to talk about it more.
Amen.
We need to say it more.
Right.
Because when we don't say it, but occasionally, just every once in a while, we're witnessing something and we're saying it, then it's like, you know, it's like heavy. It's like heavy trying to say it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This rapture is not off in the future. You know, God is quickening. He's quickening the seed. Every time one comes in the presence and God quickens that seed, he's raptured into the presence of God.
Yes,
we need to say it more.
Yes.
It's got to get to that commonality where it's just common knowledge.
Yep.
You know, when you're struggling to say it, they feel it.
Yes.
You know,
right.
They feel it like, well, he's not even comfortable with this thing he's saying.
Yep.
So we need to say it more. And let it just be such a natural thing.
Yes, sir.
There's much of the message that we've already got like that. We've already brought it to that. Just like we're talking about the shout. They don't have no problem. We say it without hesitation. That's what I'm saying. We need to talk about the revelation without hesitation. Right. Just that this is matter of fact. And people see that in you. That's right.
Amen.
You've dealt with salesmen before. And every one of you, you know there's those people out there that, you know, they just seem genuine honest. You listen to a talk and you just feel like, man, this is coming from their heart. You know, this is just real genuine. And then there's this other salesman. He's like, he's trying to push this thing down your throat. And it's like, this guy's a snake. You know, this guy, you don't trust him. And you just want to get away from him. And he's like pressuring you. Like, man, you got to do this today. You got to have, this deal won't be tomorrow. You got to do it right now. And he said, you need it. You know, like you're going to die if you get in your car and leave now. And so there's a difference. And it's the same thing when you're selling the gospel, when you're selling the revelation.
Yes, sir.
When it's really real, then you're going to talk about it like it's real.
Amen.
Amen. I want to get rid of those walls. I want to get rid of that hesitation. I want to get rid of all that stuff.
Right.
I want it to be just powerful.
Amen.
All right. Same word. So here we are, the first one. By force. See? All right. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This is catching away. Take it by force. Now, this all through the Old Testament, we know there was violence. What did they do to the prophets? They killed them. They killed them, right? So in Jesus' day, what was it? It increased. It got greater. And so they killed Christ. They killed the disciples. They killed one after another, and it went right into the Dark Ages, right into the bloodbath, the Catholic Church killing. The violence just increased and increased and increased. But right there, when all of that was going, that prophet would pull them things out of history, and he said there would be people walking up there, no hesitation,
mm-hmm.
happy,
yeah.
singing praises to God, walking up to their death, saying, here I am, take me. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer.
Yes, sir.
I'm ready to die. I'm not bowing to your churches. I'm not bowing to your government. I'm not bowing to none of this.
Right.
And then every once in a while, somebody would walk up there, and it wasn't real. And they'll say, I recant. I don't want it. I'll leave it. I'll stay with the church. Brother Branham said one time somebody was recanting and walking away and said that soldier had watched so many people walk up there to their death with boldness. And the soldier said, I'll take his place. Let me die. This thing is real.
Amen.
He's seen reality in those people.
Yes, sir.
They were given their lives for this thing.
Amen.
Praise be to God. You know, I just hit that button that sent it out there into Never Never Land. But, well, I'm sorry. All right, we're going to see if we can get all the way back down there. But there is, for a Christian, probably not anything more powerful than when somebody tells you that they see something in your life, that they see Christ in your life. I think that's probably the greatest compliment that a Christian can have,
yeah.
is that when somebody says, I see Christ in you, and I admire your life, and you can't help it. It just does something. And I've had plenty of people say, everything, the baddest things they could say. I know Brother Goomba has. Everybody, I'm sure, has. I've had, like Brother John White said one time, said, that woman called me everything but a son of God. And I thought, that's right. You know, and you have those people. They just rip you every way, every time. They just have no conscience. They have no, they don't care. You know, they're just like, they're just trying to tear you down. But then God will send somebody along that you know, that's been watching you, and you might not even know they've been watching you. And they'll say, I admire your life. Huh? I admire your life. I see something in you. Yeah. And that just does something. It just does something because you're not trying to live your life. You're trying to surrender to Christ. Yeah. You want His life. Yeah. That you want them to see Him. Brother Branham said, when I can get William Branham out of the way,
yes, sir.
Then they'll see Him.
Yeah.
That's right. See? All right, we were catching away. We had to... All right, John 6:14. I was trying not to touch anything. You know, this computer is pretty amazing, the things that it can do. I struck across it one time today, and every page that was open were all on the screen at one time. And I thought, oh, I wish I knew how to do that. But it was just like I was taking my hand away, and I turned back, and every page was up there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I was like, well, I wish I knew how I did that. I don't know what I touched, what I did, but God is good. John 6:14. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, caught up. Remember when we talked about caught up, you can be caught up in a crowd. You can be caught up. You know, even people have been trampled in crowds. You know, there be a fire at a concert or something like that, and everybody's trying to get out, and they get caught up in that. And they get ran over, and they die. Sometimes many people die when things like that happen. And so you can be caught up in an idea. And that's what politics is now. That's what politics is. It doesn't matter that they're telling a lie. It doesn't matter that they know that certain people know they're telling a lie. They know that if they say the lie enough times, there's many, and they put it out there on the media, people are going to believe it. Huh? So people are caught up in that lie. And so they're trying to bring it back and little by little, but that's what we want in the spiritual realm. We want people to not get caught up in the lie, but get caught up in the revelation.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's a revelation. That's what the rapture is. The rapture is a revelation.
Yes, sir.
And so it has to be revealed to you. So Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again into a high mountain himself alone. See? So he was fixing to get caught away and be forced and done that. Okay, catcheth away. Matthew 13:18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And when anyone, listen to this one now, heareth the word of the kingdom. A natural kingdom? No. The kingdom of God. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away. That which was sown in the heart. What was sown in the heart? It was the word. The word was sown, and now Satan is coming to catch it away, to pluck it, to snatch it, to take it out. See? And catches away that which was sown into his heart is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. See? That's right. Let's do another one. Pluck them. In John 10:23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. And he answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He's not talking about natural sheep, is he? We're talking about spiritual. We're talking about a spiritual thing that's taking place. God is speaking to his children, revealing himself to his children. It's a spiritual thing going on. See, they hear his voice. Well, are they everyone like Cain did? God just spoke to him and he hears him? Or Moses lip to ear? Or is he speaking to them by his word? Leading them by his spirit? Listen, see, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them.
Right.
Huh? They're not going to be caught up in the lie.
Right.
They're not going to be taken away from me. No, you're not going to pluck them from me. You're not going to snatch them away.
Amen.
How could he snatch? How could you snatch this group away? That is his sheep.
Right.
The opposite of what he did. He used the truth and Satan uses the lie.
Yes.
And so it's the lie that catches them away. It's the truth that catches us away.
Right.
My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're not going to pluck them out of his hand. You're not going to pluck them out of the Father's hand.
Right?
That's right. I and my Father are one. Praise God. All right. Acts 8. Then Philip opened his mouth. Ah, man, I can't believe the time here. I guess I talked a little bit too much. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And he went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So, this is the only one that the nominals believe can happen. They miss all of these other catchings away. They miss these snatching away. They miss these plucking away. They miss all of those. And they only see just this one. And I don't want to leave it out. But what did he do? He changed places.
Yes, sir.
He changed places.
Right.
But it's more than that. There's a changing of form, not just changing places.
Yes, sir.
This one, what is this one? Falling. Okay, remember the word was what? Caught away. Now this is the same word. This is derived from the same word. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, right? Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, him that's able to keep you from being plucked away. Right? Or caught away to the wrong place. Right? So, if you're falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So, where are you falling? If you fall away from God, where are you falling? You're falling away from life. You're going to hell. Right? You're falling away. You're going another direction. And so, when somebody rejects the word of God, the message of the hour, then they conceal their testimony, right?
Yes.
They can reject him and be done. And they have, they're done. They've crossed the line. Okay? God's the one who determines when that is, but it could be the first time they ever come to the message and they reject it, and that can be it, and they can live another 50 years. Okay? That's up to God. Okay? We don't know that. But what we do know, they can cross that line. So when they cross that line, are they in a different body? Have they changed bodies? No. No, but they have been caught away. They have sealed their destiny. They have arranged their destiny. They have appointed themselves to go to hell. They're falling away. They fell away. That's what you talk when somebody leaves or somebody's backslid. They fell away, right? It's falling away. We use that terminology when somebody goes away. They fell away. They've gone away. Maybe they come in. Maybe they were on fire for a year. I can remember one time I was working over here in Denver when they had the mobile home plant over there. And I was sitting there at lunch one day. Most everybody brought their lunch every day there. And we always brought our lunch. And so we'd sit outside and I was eating. And I was sitting by a guy that I worked with. And he wasn't a believer. I don't even know if he was a nominal believer, but I'm sure he believed in God. But I just was talking casual, about God and about things. And so I was just talking away and as I was saying a while ago about something just coming out natural. And so I was just going away and I said, well, when I was in the world, and I said it like that, and I just kept on talking. And he said, what did you say? I said, back when I was in the world, I did this all this, this kind of stuff. I said, but God delivered me from all that. He said, when you was in the world, he said, where are you now? Huh? I said, I'm not in the world. I'm not of the world. No, I'm in Christ. I'm in heavenly places. Let me tell you something. This is the real place.
Yes, sir.
This is the real place. This is the revelation. And this revelation didn't just start in the bright age.
Right.
This was a revelation that Paul was preaching to his people. Yes. That by the word of they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the depth. They didn't have the fullness of it. But what they had still brought them into the presence of God.
Right.
Because it was the word for the age.
Amen.
And so in every age, no matter how much word they had, how much spirit they had, how much revelation they had, when they received God in their age, they were in the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
And that kingdom is a spiritual kingdom.
That's right.
And they are placed. We are placed today. We are placed today as kings and priests in the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
That's where you live. You don't think like them. You don't act like them. You don't dress like them. You're a different person than them. Yeah, you want to help them, but you don't want to help them to glorify Satan. You want to help them to glorify God. You want them to come.
That's right.
You want to introduce them to something real,
yes, sir,
to eternal life.
Right.
This message is eternal life.
Amen.
When you are caught up into heavenly places, do you change bodies? No. Do you go from one place to another place? No. You're living in a different atmosphere.
That's right.
That's right. You have a new nature. You have a new life.
That's right.
You're a different person.
Amen.
Okay, I think I need to maybe skip something. Let's just drop down to John 10:12. And we'll just read this one. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Huh? Now, naturally we see this in the natural, but he's talking about the spiritual. He's talking about those genuine shepherds of the sheep. He's talking about ministers that stand for this truth in this last day. Or in every day.
Yes,
and those who are just hirelings. In other words, they're just getting paid to do a job. Brother Ram said that's what's the problem with the ministry today. Everyone's they're there to get a check. It's just a job. You know, they figure, oh, if I preach, then I'll be able to stay home. I'll be able to do this. I'll make money. They're going to supply me a house. They're going to do this. You know, the churches do all that stuff. It's going to be really good. I'm not going to go sweat at the bread factory, or I'm not going to go out here and do this other stuff and do this and this. No, it's just a job. But when it's the real thing,
amen.
When it's the real thing,
yes, sir.
Then the wolf can't catch them.
That's right.
The wolf can't catch them then. See, can't catch you away. That's what's happening. Satan is catching people away.
Right.
Christ is catching people away.
Amen.
He's catching them by the word. Satan's catching them by the lie. That's right.
Yes.
All right. We're down to Thessalonians one more time. So, verse 17, I'm going to read it. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So let's go to clouds. Now, watch this. So the word cloud, now it's always, like, once again, they think of it as the natural clouds always. But what kind of clouds? Now, here it is. A cloud used of the cloud which led the Israelites in the wilderness. And many think... many translations place that as a natural cloud. Huh?
Yeah,
yeah they do. Yeah, what a natural cloud.
Right.
And I was reading today, Brother Branham was talking, and I just threw this in here at the last minute. Sorry. I'm going to read you Exodus 13, 21, 22, and I didn't put it there. But I was also reading where Brother Branham was talking about the manna. And the water, he said, they all drank of that spiritual water. Huh? That was natural water. It was spiritual water. He said they all ate the same spiritual manna. And then he said, that rock that the water came out of, that spirit, it was a spiritual rock. And he said, that was Christ. Huh? No, this is the problem. You want everything to be literal? You want everything to be natural? And they know it's not, but they just want to reject the revelation.
Right.
This thing is not so hard. It's not so hard. Okay, I'm sorry. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Now that don't sound like a natural cloud, does it? Huh? A pillar of a cloud, like pillar of fire? Huh? To lead them away, and by night in a pillar of fire. See? To give them light to go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from the people. And so then we're going to go to Matthew 17 here. But I was thinking, Brother Branham said, when the scripture says, when they come out. And like I said, we're just in the Greek. This is the Hebrew. So I wanted to throw it in here because it's so compelling for the cloud. But Brother Branham said, this cloud, when they were leaving Egypt, that this cloud that was leading them, it went to the back of them. Huh? And it was a light. It was shining the light on the Israelites. And it was making pitch dark the Egyptians.
Yes, sir.
That's a beautiful cloud, isn't it?
Amen.
That was a beautiful light.
Yes, sir.
It was light to one and darkness to the other. That's what this message is.
Amen.
That's what this Bible is.
Yes, sir.
It's light to one and darkness to the other.
Right.
That's right. Praise God. Matthew 17 and 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice spake out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. All right. Now, I think I left some of that out. You should go back and read that. Or I may have put it in again. But when you read it real slow and get every detail, every detail, every detail. But you see what he's talking about. So I got to move on because we're out of time. Matthew 24. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so I have a lot of quotes on that. And so maybe we'll get to it sometime here. I want to put it in here. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Now, you know the one after this, after clouds, is air. So think about this wind. Think about this wind. Is everything just a shh, 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 shh. Brother Adam said, the scripture tells us he's coming in clouds. Right? And Brother Branham said, it's not a thunderhead. It's not one of these clouds out here that he's coming in. He's coming in the cloud of his glory. That's what he's coming in. He's coming in his glory. All right. Okay, and I actually throw that in there, clouds of glory. So this is glory. And I'm going to skip over it. You can look at it, but you can see he's talking about magnificence, elegance, preeminence, deity, grace. Number four, the most glorious condition, exalted state. 4b is a glorious condition of blessedness, into which is appointed and promised to the true Christian, that the true Christian shall enter in after their Savior's return. So that glory is promised for us also. All right. Well, we got to read this one here. This is a little bonus I added. Luke 9:27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death. Now, we've been talking about this a lot, of death. Brother Gooms preached it several times and really nailed it down. And there's still some backlash, okay? Some won't taste death, but listen to this one. This one's a little bit different. Which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. There's going to be some people that see the kingdom of God, right? Without tasting death. Without tasting death, they're going to see the kingdom of God. What did John do? What did they do on Mount Transfiguration? What did John do when he was caught up? What did he see? Huh? Nope. So, he's seen it without tasting death. Did John die?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he died. Nope. Yes, he did. Yeah. But did he see the coming of the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Was he alive when he saw it?
Yes, sir.
He was. He was. Mm-hmm. So, the word is wrote in a mystery. It's wrote in a mystery. And it takes God. It just takes God. Okay. All right. Here he gets that again in Luke 9. But I'm going to skip it because we're out of time. And you can read it when you go home. And I put quite a few in here on the cloud. Oh, let's read 1 Corinthians 10. This is what I was telling you about the spiritual. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Huh? They were under that cloud. And all passed through the sea. Huh? Did they get wet? They didn't get wet, did they? And they passed right through it. And they were baptized. Scripture says they were baptized. Right? And they didn't get wet. Huh? And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Yes, sir.
It's sweet, isn't it? It's really nice. Yeah. And all did eat the same spiritual meat. Wow. Did they eat real flesh? They sure did. They sure did. And they all drank the same spiritual drink. And they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Brother, when God is doing something, it is spiritual, it's supernatural. And I don't care how natural it is, if God is doing something, it's supernatural.
Amen.
You can't separate it.
That's right.
It's just there to throw off the carnal mind.
Yes, sir.
That's all. It's just there to throw off the carnal mind. They can't deal with it. They can't get it. Now, I threw all the scriptures in there in Revelations, talking about the cloud. I didn't intend to read those. Just real quickly now, on the air, okay? Now, there's not a lot on this. And actually, I wish I had my scripture right there. I'm going to back up real fast and read it again. Sorry. I meant to keep my scripture right there on every one of them. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're caught up with them in the clouds to meet him in the air, right? So it pretty much looks like these are the same thing. What are the clouds? What are the air? But let's just read. Okay. Air. The air, particularly the lower and denser air as distinguished from the higher and rarer air, the atmospheric region. Now that just looks all natural, don't it? That pretty much looks like just natural. Okay? So there's not a lot on air, but there's enough on the clouds to pretty much take care of it. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Huh? We lived in another realm. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And he was the one controlling us in that realm, in the world, in the things of the world, under that nature.
Yes, sir.
He was the one that was in full control. And when you're born again, he is no longer able to do that. Now you are in Christ and you're caught up in the air with Christ. You're walking with Christ. You're in his kingdom. You're in his atmosphere. You're in his realm. You have his nature, his life, his everything. I'm sorry. For some reason. Oh, there's my scripture right there. All right. Okay, I'm going to go down to Revelation 16, and I'm going to stop. I think I'm going to stop with this right here. Yeah, actually, that's the last one. All right. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. He poured out his vial into the air. Now, if I'm thinking in terms of Vietnam, and they dumped out the Agent Orange, and they didn't only poison the enemy, they poisoned our soldiers too. And many of them had it. My stepfather had it from the Agent Orange. Our chemical warfare, or what Saddam Hussein did to his own people.
Right.
To his own people. Huh? That's what you're thinking of when you're thinking of this vial being poured out. But we already know. Now, I'm trying to prove this on the scriptural level, so I'm cheating on this one because I don't have much on it. But we know that Armageddon is a spiritual battle.
All right, yes, sir.
So it's not going to do any good for you to go dump out chemicals into the air if it's a spiritual battle.
Yes,
does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So these things are symbolic of what's taking place, of what God is pouring out and what Satan is pouring out. And it's a battle that's going on. And it's always a battle against the truth, against the lie. That's what it always is.
Amen.
See, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Amen. Praise be to God. I skipped over some, but I hope that you'll read it. And I hope that you get my intentions here, that I just want to show that these scriptures are not all natural. But for, as you see, from the most part, they're spiritual. They're always covering both sides of the spectrum. So God can have some of these things in the natural. He can have these things in the spiritual. He can have them both. He can manifest something in the natural and in the spiritual. And so, but the big argument now is the rapture. It's the rapture. It's the resurrection. As those things are important to us because we believe that you have to be caught up. And that, listen, if the rapture isn't going on, if the rapture isn't taking place, I say going on simply because if there's anyone who hasn't received the message and that is to receive it, they're going to be caught up by it. Okay? So that's the rapture. That's the new birth. It's you being born by the word of this day.
Right.
That's what it is. And so, but that has been among us since the opening of the seals.
Amen.
That's what it was all about. It was Christ coming. And you can say, just like he said at Calvary, he said, "It's finished."
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went 2,000 years. What was it all finished? Well, that was finished. But he was now going to set as a mediator for 2,000 years.
Right.
So when he takes the book and he claims his bride, it's finished.
Yes, sir.
It's finished. Redemption's over. It's done.
That's right.
There's no more work to do there. It's done.
Yep.
But there's still people receiving it.
Right.
And so they're being caught up in the revelation of it.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. And the simplicity of it is that's what it's always been.
Yes, sir.
Abraham was down there with his father and his nephew and his family. And the word of God, the Spirit of God, came down there and plucked him out.
Yes, sir.
It just snatched him out of there.
Right.
How did he do it? He spoke. The word spoke.
Amen.
The Spirit spoke. And he just began to lead him and to guide him.
Right.
Huh? He was plucked out of there and he began to walk. And God starts telling him, "As far as you can see, it's yours." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Think what that would do to you today. But think what it did thousands of years ago. Here's a guy who's got a wife that can't have children.
Right.
And God is telling that your seed is going to be as the sand of the sea.
Amen. Yep.
Wow. What a promise. What a promise.
Yes.
And he just kept walking. Huh? That's what you're doing. God let you see the door. And you just walked in it and you're just walking. And you're just walking. And you don't have every answer. You're not beyond the trials and the troubles and the pressure and the flesh and all that you go through every day. You're not beyond it.
Right.
But you just keep walking. You just keep walking and he keeps telling you.
Yes, sir.
It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's all yours. As far as you can see, it's yours. The promise is unto you. That's right. Amen. Let us stand together. I'm going to ask Brother Bosworth if he'll come. And you can say what he wants or sing what he wants or, and then pray for us. God bless you. Yes. Amen.
It's good to see all of you.
Amen.
Not that much of a preacher, but I read something there, and when Christ was anointed, they wanted to make him king. I hadn't read that, but he hid and went to the mountains, and it got me thinking, when most of these men, they are brothers, by the way, when they got anointed, they went somewhere. They did not go to the streets and praise the Lord and danced. They went to make sure that the anointing is of the Lord.
Right.
And do we do that when we get anointed? Do you sit back and say, Lord, make it certain to me that it is you.
Yes.
That when I'm talking here, Lord, it's not my mind that it's just talking just to impress people.
Right.
When I'm walking out there, it's not just my body walking out there and trying to impress people.
Amen.
When I dress, not to impress people.
Amen.
But it's an inspiration from you, Lord. And like he said, I don't want to be like, you call him a snake, that salesman. Yeah, I want to have the confidence.
Amen.
That is inspired by God.
Right.
I want to talk about him in a confident manner.
And
I want to put down that coat of pride that it is so warm, but I want to have the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
That will guide me, and I know that he's good.
Yes.
Can we sing God is good all the time?
Amen.
Sorry, he said I can sing whatever I want, so I'll take the chance.
That's a good one.
Mercy. God is good all the time.
Praise God. His light still shines, and you are the light of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Lord Father, we are thankful for the day. You've been our Alpha, Lord Father, since the beginning of it. And Lord Father, for some it's different, Lord Father. They've gone through a lot. They've struggled a lot, Lord Father, just to put a step onto another, Lord Father, to get here, Lord Father. But you gave them strength. You gave them, Lord Father, a thirst in their hearts, Lord Father. And they made it here. We all made it here, Lord Father. And we don't know what each and everyone went through, Lord Father, but we are thankful, Lord Father, that you brought each and every one of us here, Lord Father. And there are those, Lord Father, we know that couldn't make it, Lord Father. Maybe, Lord Father, the devil stood in their way, Lord Father. And there are soldiers, Lord Father, and we know we are together in spirit, Lord Father, even if not together physically, Lord Father. We pray that you may be with them, Lord Father, and we are hoping, Lord Father, they have been blessed, Lord Father. We are asking, Lord Father, that whatever is in our hearts, Lord Father, that you may grant us, Lord Father, the desires of our hearts. Lord Father, some of us are sick. Some of us, Lord Father, are bed-laden, Lord Father. Some of us have financially crippled, Lord Father, or this and this, Lord Father. You are the one who knows, Lord Father, what they need, Lord Father, that you may provide for them, Lord Father, like you did the woman at the well, Lord Father. You gave her the water of life, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, that you may give us each and every day the strength, Lord Father, and the courage, Lord Father, to live your word, Lord Father, to shine our light, Lord Father, to this world, Lord Father. It is forsaken, Lord Father, but we know, Lord Father, when we get to that shore, Lord Father, you'll meet us there, Lord Father. Be thus, Lord Father, each and everyone, as you go home through various means, Lord Father, we pray that you may bless and protect each and every one of them, Lord Father. Guide us and protect us, Lord Father, throughout the weekend, Lord Father, and give us a good, Lord Father, night that you, Lord Father, when we get home, Lord Father, we'll praise your holy name for your holy hand, Lord Father. Be thus, Lord Father, so that we may meet, Lord Father, safe and sound once again, Lord Father, on Sunday morning, Lord Father, to hear, Lord Father, from you again, Lord Father. Be thus, is my humble prayer, believing and trusting in your holy name. Amen.